You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Last night, Vice President Joe Biden and Congressman Paul Ryan faced off in this year's only vice presidential debate. While political watchers were looking for sparks to fly over Medicare and foreign policy, we suspect that Andy Borowitz may have been looking for something a little different. And so it is with great pleasure that I welcome the author of the Borowitz Report to our show now to tell us what caught his attention last night and his impressions of the presidential campaign overall. Andy, welcome back to our show.
Thanks for having me, Leonard.
So who do you think won the debate? Did these debates always have to have a clear winner and a clear loser?
Oh, yes, because we need in the media to say that the narrative has changed. That's the new buzzword this year. We have to say this changed the narrative. The problem is when the media people say this, they neglect to mention that they, in fact, are the narrators. So they're the ones who are changing the narrative. But, first of all, I have to say these are not debates. There's no way you could define these as debates. This is not the Oxford Union or something. These are just televised events. They're sort of, last night was kind of like, I guess, a steel cage match or ultimate fighting championship brawl. There were no discernible rules. I mean, I think Martha Raddatz did a good job, but it mainly seemed like a competition to see who was best able to smirk sarcastically at the opponent's comments. And by that measure, I think you have to give it to Joe Biden.
Well, also, who could get the most talking points into any question that was asked, despite whether it had anything to do with the talking point or not? Well, it was talking point counterpoint, wasn't it?
That's what I mean. I mean, these guys don't answer the questions. They interrupt each other. There's absolutely, it's just like kickboxing. And that's what cracks me up when you watch the media analyses afterwards, like when you watch CNN, and these grown-ups are actually saying things like, I believe that he or the other guy won on points. What points? What are we even trying to keep track of or keep score of? It's a complete free-for-all Donnybrook, and we're really just watching it to sort of get our impression of these two guys. We're not focusing on Eastern Afghanistan versus Western Afghanistan or any of these finer points. It's just a spectacle.
Or, for that matter, global warming, which never comes up in these conversations, even though it may wind up destroying the planet. It seems like the media consensus has been that whoever was more aggressive in the last two debates was the winner. And
right.
Many observers were upset with President Obama's low-key performance. Do you think that Biden was directed by the Democratic campaign staff to be as animated as he was last night, or is that just Joe being Joe?
Well, I think that is Joe being Joe, but I think that Joe is being Joe at a very timely point in this campaign, because I think after that debate that President Obama put in last week, it's hard to believe it was just a week ago, because it seems to have cast this pall over the entire Democratic campaign. I mean, Obama got out there, and he looked like a guy at the beginning of a Viagra commercial. I mean, he was listless. He had no energy. There was clearly something wrong. I mean, this is a guy who the knock on Obama traditionally, as you know, has been he's all flash, he's all oratory and style over substance. Well, he sure has taken care of that reputation. We don't talk about him that way anymore. So Biden really had to go out there and really kind of reanimate the Democratic campaign. I sort of saw it like it's the Frankenweenie debate, where he had to like actually send a charge through this dead husk of a campaign and make it breathe again. So by that measure, I think it was a huge success, because I think Democrats were ready to head for the Canadian border a few days ago. And now they're looking at it like, well, Biden's brought us back into the game. It almost doesn't make any difference what he actually said. The fact that he kind of put Paul Ryan in his place and smacked him down a few times, accused him of lying when, in fact, Paul Ryan did lie, I think that was enough. I think that he got the job done. I don't know if that's the job he was deputized to do, but he got it done.
Well, Joe Biden got some things wrong as well, and some
of
people
course.
Were put off by his smiling to the point where I felt I was going to be blinded by the whiteness of his teeth, and even laughing while Paul Ryan was speaking, smirking. To some degree, I suspect you think either one did better simply based on your political viewpoint.
Yeah, it is the cliche, of course, which I will gladly repeat, is that it's a Rorschach test. You know, the Democrats are thrilled with Biden. They think he's a hero. The Republicans think that Paul Ryan was presidential, that he showed that he could, you know, command foreign policy issues. I mean, since I'm not a Republican, I looked at Paul Ryan and thought, this is a guy who could, you know, very well lead the United States at Model UN. That was my view of him. I did not think he seemed presidential. It wasn't just his youth. I just didn't think he seemed in command. But that's my very partisan point of view. I think the Republicans feel, oh, yeah, Paul Ryan showed that he's a smart guy. I do think that he, unfortunately, fell into some of the meme about him, which is that he has a problem, a very kind of complicated relationship with the truth. And he did show that a couple times.
Well, we have a clip with a look at how they dealt with policy. Let's listen to it.
Joe and I are from similar towns. He's from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I'm from Janesville, Wisconsin. You know what the unemployment rate in Scranton is today?
I sure do.
It's 10%.
Yeah.
You know what it was the day you guys came in? 8.5%.
Yeah.
That's how it's going all around America. Look.
You don't read the statistics. Look, that's not how it's going. It's going down.
This is his two-minute answer, look. Please.
Well, so what was your take on that?
Well, that's a fascinating sort of portrait of what's wrong, what the problem is, I should say, with Paul Ryan, because that was clearly a prepared set piece that he brought in into his pocket, into the debate. He was going to do a sort of gotcha question with Biden, where he's going to say, do you know what the unemployment rate is now? You know what it was then? And that was great. I mean, as I heard him do that, I thought, oh, my God, this is Paul Ryan's big moment in the debate. This is like his Lloyd Benson moment or his, you know, this is going to really bring Biden down. But then he couldn't resist lying. And that was what got him in trouble, because he then said, and that's what's going on all over the country. Well, it isn't. And there was a very well publicized jobs report last week, which showed the unemployment rate is now at 7.8%. It was such a good report that Jack Welch of GE had to claim that, you know, Obama had faked it along with his birth certificate. So,
and now Jack Welch is out as a writer for a number of publications.
Well, that's
I guess he can live on his golden parachute and not have to worry about that.
Exactly.
There was a lot of foreign policy in last night's debate, which surprised many viewers, since there is the adage that foreign policy never wins any votes. Didn't that play to Biden's strengths, because he can say, well, I was at that meeting in the White House when we discussed that?
Yeah, and it also gave both of them a chance to show their expertise in pronouncing tricky Afghan names. I thought that was impressive. They talked about various regions, and they obviously had worked very hard on memorizing how to pronounce certain things. So that's, to the extent that it's important to pronounce complicated foreign names in the job of vice president, they both, I think, acquitted themselves pretty well.
Well, at times, Biden seemed to be stuck with words like malarkey, and that's a lot of stuff when it was obvious he wanted to say something else. We have a clip of him and Ryan and Martha Raddatz talking about the prospect of Iran getting a nuclear weapon. Joe Biden starts off this excerpt by talking about his good friend, Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu.
Now, with regard to Bibi, who's been my friend for 39 years, the president has met with Bibi a dozen times. He's spoken to Bibi Netanyahu as much as he's spoken to anybody. The idea that we're not I was in a, just before he went to the UN, I was in a conference call with the president, with him talking to Bibi for well over an hour in stark relief and detail about what was going on. This is a bunch of stuff. Look, here's the deal.
What does that mean, a bunch of stuff?
Well, it means it's simply inaccurate.
It's Irish.
It is. We Irish call it malarkey.
Thanks for the translation.
No, okay. We Irish call it malarkey.
Well, he referred to Bibi Netanyahu as his friend and to Ryan as his friend. So over and over again. You got to wonder who his enemies are.
I was practically expecting him, you know, the way Obama began the beginning of his debate, to announce that he'd been married to Bibi Netanyahu for 20 years and they were celebrating their anniversary. Suddenly, Bibi Netanyahu is like his main man. But it's true, everybody was his friend last night. He was calling Ryan his friend. It reminded me a little bit of John McCain. I don't know if you remember in the last election cycle, John McCain would always say, my friends, and then he'd really stick it to you. It is a weird, it's a weird thing in politics. Whenever you call somebody your friend, you know something bad is coming down the pike.
Well, a woman on Twitter quipped that she would now be calling her ex-husband my friend. There weren't that many zingers last night, although both candidates had some prepared lines. But here's one of Paul Ryan's prepared zingers, which came in response to Joe Biden bringing up Romney's remarks about the 47% of Americans who don't pay taxes.
Romney's a good man. He cares about 100% of Americans in this country. And with respect to that quote, I think the vice president very well knows that sometimes the words don't come out of your mouth the right way.
But I always say what I mean.
Was that about as fast and as witty as repartee got last night?
Yeah, that put Oscar Wilde to shame, that little quip there. I mean, I don't know. You know, the funny thing about Joe Biden's gaffes, they're now so legendary. He's kind of grown into a weird kind of authenticity at this point. You know, as a Democrat, he's always given me the willies because you wonder what he's going to say. And in this campaign, he said all kinds of stuff that's been problematic and that they've tried to walk back. But in a way, at his age and with his sort of poor impulse control, it's kind of charming. You know what he reminded me of last night? You know, to use a little basketball reference, you know, for any Knicks fan, he reminded me of J.R. Smith, because he's like, J.R. Smith is a guy who every time he has the ball has to, like, shoot a three-pointer from wherever he is on the court. Even if he's on the bench, he has to shoot a three-pointer. And he misses a lot of them, and then sometimes he makes them, and sometimes he's a hero. Joe Biden was just shooting three-pointers every time it was his turn, and even when it was Paul Ryan's turn, he was just shooting all over the place. He missed a whole bunch of times. He was really wild. He was really out of control. But he hit enough times, and just the sheer energy of seeing a guy with a pulse up there representing the Democrats, I think Democrats sort of exhaled after what they saw the week before with President Obama.
Well, it was a lot more restrained than he was with Sarah Palin, because obviously he didn't want to look like he was beating up on a woman. But it's interesting what Sarah Palin said on Fox News last night about Joe Biden's performance.
It reminded me, I just told Neil Cavuto, of watching a muskox run across the tundra with somebody underfoot.
Well, you see, I like my J.R. Smith metaphor better than the muskox. I mean, I think it was a little bit more, maybe you had to be in New York to understand the J.R. Smith thing, but I have actually never seen a muskox in my life. I have no idea what she was talking about.
Abortion came up last night, but other social issues like gay marriage didn't. Do you think that the candidates' opinions on things like the Simpson-Bowles Commission or the scale at which tax rates are determined are the things that are going to decide this election, or is it going to be things like abortion?
Well, yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess it could be abortion, but we don't even really know where Mitt Romney stands on abortion anymore. I mean, he has been sort of all over the map this week. He said that he wasn't going to support any specific legislation banning abortion or limiting abortion, which puts him, I guess, in disagreement with his own website. So I think he's got of several minds on this issue. I don't really know. I mean, it was an interesting question. Like, how did your religion inform your decision about abortion? I think Martha Raddatz did a really good job, but I kind of get nervous when we start talking about religion in these debates. I mean, that was the whole sort of point of America, was that we would keep that out of our government, that they were going to be, you know, sort of two different things. And I was really kind of perplexed why she posed the abortion question in quite that way.
And what did you think of her last question about character, how they would distinguish as men? Reminded me kind of like that classic question, if you were a tree, what would you be?
I know. Well, how can you? My favorite thing is Joe Biden, how could you describe yourself as a man in 15 seconds. I mean, Joe Biden can't even describe his shoelaces in 15 seconds. I mean, that is, it seems very, very cruel to have him sum up his entire being in 15 seconds. I don't know. It was kind of dumb. But again, it's only dumb if we're looking at this as an actual debate, which it is not. It's just a reality TV performance. And I've got to say, going back to the legendary Nixon-Kennedy debates, which started this whole televised debate thing going, it's always been more about appearances and surface than it has been about the actual content. So this isn't a sign of our sort of post-Kardashian decline, reality TV decline. It's always been, ever since we started putting candidates on TV, it's been more about appearances and surface. And that's unfortunately the game that these guys are destined to play now.
Do you think we'll be hearing about the Kardashian endorsement now that it's being reported this morning that Lindsay Lohan has switched her endorsement from Obama to Romney?
Now, what is that? I'm very, you know, you're ahead of the curve on this. It shows, you know, I've been out of the loop for a few minutes and something major like that happens. what was Lindsay's reason for switching? Did she indicate why Romney's her guy?
I don't know. That's all I saw in the Huffington Post.
Well, you know, Romney has also lined up Jenna Jameson, the porn star, and, of course, Ted Nugent. So he's got quite a bunch of celebs lining up to support him. I don't know if these are things you want to mention or not if you're the candidate. Not sure.
Have you already been commenting on what happened last night in the Borowitz report?
What happened last night in the Borowitz report about the
incredible
debate poll? Yeah. Well, there's a poll out which shows that a majority of Democrats, a huge majority of Democrats, want Biden to appear in all of the remaining debates this season. If you go to NewYorker.com and go to the Borowitz Report, you'll see these shocking poll numbers. But I think the feeling is that when the president is unable to perform his duties, the vice president steps in, and this may be a case of that, you know?
Well, Bob Dole did the Viagra commercials. Maybe maybe we can get Obama to do the Cialis commercials. How do people access the Borowitz Report?
Well, you go to NewYorker.com. We're a feature of the New Yorker magazine online, NewYorker.com, and it's right there. It's right there on the homepage. You click on Andy Borowitz, and there you are. And like everything I do, it's free.
And we have a link on our show page at WNYC.org. Andy, we'll be speaking to you in a couple of weeks.
Oh, thanks for having me, Leonard.